What is up, Knoll Nation? It is the guys from Plant the Spear. We are going live with some great news, Michael. I tell you what, when AD Alford put out that initial tweet, like, man, I had some conversations there. So we are live. We're going to try and get some people in here, kind of give them a time to join in, to come check this out, to get in on this conversation. Obviously, it's a really exciting day to be a you know, just around the Florida State program, because we were there for a minute.
Well, while we wait for everyone to get in, let's talk a little bit about us, like, trying to learn Catholic religion real quick.
I know,
trying to figure out what the smoke means. Thanks, I know, Alfred.
It's funny, man, because, like, you know, we were literally sitting here queuing everything. Like, we're sitting here waiting to record an episode. We're about to talk about, you know, why, like, I was thinking that Mike Norvell was going to stay and what would happen out of this whole thing.
Yep.
And then you see the AD Alford tweet. And I mean, we're just literally, like, sitting here on eggshells, just waiting to see what was going to go on. And it's like, man, like you said, we were trying to learn the Catholic religion in 5 minutes with a Google search, and it was like, what does this smoke mean?
Does this smoke mean?
Does this mean we're looking for a new coach, or we're retaining our coach? And so I'm sure, like you were joking beforehand, I'm sure, like, what does black smoke from the Vatican mean? Probably got a dramatic increase in Google
searches. Yes, it did.
So, but, you know, we do know, again, we know that now it is official. I mean, some of the details have started to come out. I'll let you share that in just a second. Okay. But, you know, Mike Norvell did tweet on his on his own personal account that he's excited to be back, and you know, of course, we're thankful to have him. And I'll go ahead and read the tweet. Great day to be a Florida State Seminole. The climb continues. Grateful to lead the Knoll family with our incredible staff. Appreciate President McCullough, Seminole Alford, and Seminoles for continued commitment on our journey back to the top. The future is bright in Tallahassee. So you get the official word, and then you see some of the contract details coming out that I'll let you share. But man, it's been a stressful couple of days. You know what I mean? Like, and we're going to get into all that. Like, we're going to talk about some of the things, why we thought he stayed, like what this means, like what this does for, you know, like, this has got to be a real, this has got to be a gut check for Alabama. You've already had two of the top candidates pull their name out. And you know, that's it. That's a little humbling, but, you know, we're going to get into that in a second. We're just kind of letting some people get on into the live stream here, and the numbers are going up. So we'll go ahead and, you know, and start talking about it. But man, it's just a great day. Like, what a relief. Because I tell you what, dude, like, you may not believe it, but I'm actually 14. I just look 40 because of this offseason that's been going on, man. This is just this has been the most stressful offseason I can remember in a long time.
Stressful, depressing, angering, infuriating. I mean, I've been a Florida State fan for 30 years, and I just do not remember a offseason like this at all.
Right. I agree, man. And the thing is, like, it's just been one thing after another, and it's like, when is there going to be some good news? And now you finally got it. And man, I think this is so absolutely massive.
Yeah.
For Florida State, because, you know, a lot of people came out and said, you're in the ACC. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to lose your coach. They're going to be able to poach. This is something that I've talked about in previous episodes where you talk about the revenue gap. Now, we were talking in pre-show that I thought this was going to be more aimed at Dabo rather than Mike Norvell, where you talk about these schools that make $30, $40 million more than you going forward in the future, where they might just come in and pay some absurd amount of money to steal your coach away. So the fact that Mike Norvell and Florida State have been able to fend off a school, a job opening like Alabama.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and here's the thing too, man. The thing about it is, like, everybody was the rival fans are going to come out and say he wasn't, you know, the rival fans are going to say, like, they've been trying to downplay Mike Norvell, and they're probably going to be like, Alabama probably didn't really call him.
Right.
But we know that not to be the case. We know that there was mutual interest there. There was supposed to actually be an interview. So, like, this shows you again that you have a guy that was had interest in Alabama to be their coach, and now the rivals are going to go back to kind of crapping on him and saying he's not a good coach anymore, which we know is not the case. So
right,
yeah, man. But so yeah, we're gonna again, we got the numbers climbing. We're gonna let some people get up in here, and then we're gonna kind of dissect this whole thing.
Great. Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to grab a computer charger because my computer is going to die. You guys keep celebrating and let me grab a charger real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's such a settling time. You know what I mean? To be a Florida State fan, because it just felt like, you know, how many hits can keep coming? And this was going to be the big one. This was going to be the one that you were worried about, because you felt like as long as you had Norvell, everything that this program had went through, he was the glue that held it together. He was the one that could get you through everything. And then you thought when you lost him, it may be, you know, it may be the piece that makes everything fall apart. And so now that you have him back, and we'll talk about this in a second, but I felt a little confident that he was going to stay. You know, I just think, yeah. And someone made a comment about all these head coaches are represented by the same agent. That's Jimmy Sexton. We all know the name. Everybody knows the name. If you're a college football fan, of course, you know the name Jimmy Sexton. And they are represented by a lot by the same guy. And that's why anytime you see something like this happen, you know, you really, this goes for any job offer, not necessarily a college coach.
Right.
But you may have a situation where you got to play the offer. You got to hear him out. You may need to use this as leverage for some things. Obviously, he got a raise. We'll talk about the contract details in a minute. But one of the things that I was talking about while you're grabbing the charger was after this offseason, it just felt like it was this after that, after this, after that. But you felt like as long as you had Mike Norvell, he was the glue that held everything together.
Correct.
And you would triumph through everything. But if you lost him, you might be in trouble.
Oh,
and so now to fend off a program and an offer like Alabama to retain your head coach, man, that's just absolutely huge for a school that is an ACC school, you know, because you are trying to be, the reason you're trying to get out of the ACC is you're trying to be that premier brand. You're trying to be on the stage with the Alabamas and the Georgias. And so the fact that you didn't get your coach poached by one of those schools, you know, you feel like if I know people talk about how Texas would have been the biggest scare. And that's something that you mentioned too, because he is from Texas.
That's right.
If Sark would have jumped to Alabama, you'd have been worried about Texas, you know, who's got more money than Alabama.
Way more money.
Right. But the fact that he, and there's reasons behind this that we're going to talk about why I don't think he took it. But there's also the fact that if you fended off this big of a job, you feel like you're probably good. You know what I mean? Like this is, I don't feel like this is going to be, and to be fair, there was never an indication that he was going to leave.
Correct.
That's a bunch of panic fingers on Twitter.
That's right.
You know, that are freaking out. He never gave the indication, but at the same time, the fact that you now know he didn't leave for Alabama.
Right. What did I tell you?
Right. You got to feel good about it, because we talked about it before, man. This is something where like Norvell, there's a lot of coaches out there that'll smile in your face and stab you in the back for a check.
Right.
We felt like Mike Norvell was just a genuine guy who really appreciated the relationships and the people around him and all those things. And you almost felt like, now I'm not saying he's going to replicate the success that Bobby Bowden had. Obviously, that's really hard to duplicate. But you felt like you had that Bobby Bowden-esque coach. He came in, he didn't, of course, Bowden built the program, but he rebuilt the program. He's a young coach, has a lot of years, has had consistency in his staff, a lot of the traits, doing it right on and off the field that Bowden had.
Right.
And you felt like he would be in it for the long haul. And then it was like, man, come on. We're 4 years into this thing and we might get him poached. But now that you fended off Alabama, I think, you know, he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
And, you know, speaking of, I'll let you go ahead and share the details of the new extension that you found so far.
Yeah, so what we got, what's been reported, Ross, and we want to give credit to Ross Dillinger. He was the first to report it. Mike Norvell and Florida State have agreed to a new 8-year contract that will pay him more than $10 million, sources tell Yahoo Sports. So Yahoo Sports was the first to report the contract details. So you're probably looking at, my guess, without seeing the contract just yet, is probably somewhere about 10.5, maybe 10.8 million, so close to 11. I mean, this literally puts him in the upper echelon of paid head football coaches in the Power Five conference.
Right. That's huge, man, because, I mean, Dabo was a little north of 10 at Clemson, and he has two national titles. Saban was, I believe, a little over 11.
He was the highest paid.
Right, the highest paid. And the guy has won 6 national titles at Alabama at the school that's paying him $11 million.
Right.
So now, like, when people say Florida State ain't serious or they're cheap or they're not stepping up to the plate, man, they're paying a coach that, you know, as much as we love Mike Norvell, has won 1 ACC title.
That's it.
$10 million a year. So, like, this is big boy money. And this is, they're stepping up to the plate. And man, I'm telling you, like, you can see that Florida State is really making a push to be
absolutely
in that big boy conversation. And, you know, when we talk about the whole situation, and I think we can shift that to that conversation real quick, is some of the reasons why I think he stayed and why I don't think he went away. And this was honestly, this was something that when people talked about Dan Lanning at Oregon, you know, I admitted that I thought he was the top candidate that they were going to go after. He's an SEC guy, you know, I wasn't sold that he was going to leave. I mean, because you look at that, they got Nike money. They're in the Big Ten now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they're in the Big Ten. So that Big Ten money hits different, you know, than that Pac-12 money. It actually pays more than the SEC.
That's right.
Yeah, two five-star quarterbacks on the roster already. You know, they just got Evan Stewart, the other, after he announced he's staying, a five-star receiver. So, you know, that right there alone was reason why I was like, I don't think he's going to leave, man, because, and I felt the same way about Norvell. Like, you just signed an extension before this. You were already making pretty good money, around $8 million a year.
Yeah.
You already signed all your assistants to extensions. We know that just came out, and you've pretty much reloaded the roster to make a run in 2024.
And you ain't done.
Right. And you're not done yet. And you just signed half of Alabama's players. So, like, why would you bring them over here and then pull the bait and switch and leave to go over there? And so I just felt like with what Mike Norvell did to get this program, he has worked tirelessly to get this program back to where it is. And I feel like if he would have left, it would have went against the entire fabric of what he rebuilt this program on. Right. Because it was like, you want people who want to be at Florida State. You want people who want to be part of this very special program.
Right.
And so if you'd had him get them to, I don't want to say the promised land because you haven't won a title yet, but for him to get them from 3-6 to 13-1, potentially going to make the ACC championship in a playoff next year, for him to leave, it would have felt like that would have just destroyed everything. Like, you'd have been left at the altar, so to speak.
Yep.
And so I felt like the only hamstring that Florida State had was being in the ACC. Everything else, you know, you have a strong AD, you have a strong president now.
You have one of, if not the best NIL collective in the country.
Exactly. And then you also have a situation where you have a good AD, you have a good president, you know, behind you and all that. So, you know, I felt like the only hamstring you had was the ACC. Now, you know, they're trying to get out of it. But the thing about that is, too, is Mike Norvell probably knows a little bit more detail about that than we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you feel like you can get out of the ACC, I mean, then why leave? And this is the one thing that I talk about, why this is a humbling experience for Alabama, is because, again, it's just going to be an unreal standard that you have to live up to at Alabama.
Absolutely.
Following Nick Saban, a guy that won 6 national titles. Oh, by the way, they're also going to build him an office on top of the facility there so he can watch over you. Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to follow that, especially if you're a coach. And you know, we were joking before in the pre-show where a guy like Dan Lanning, a guy like Mike Norvell, they have a lot of control. I'm going to switch our overlay here so we can go to display some comments here while we talk. But I think that it was kind of like with Norvell, he has the freedom to do what he wants at Florida State.
Absolutely.
This is a 100% joke.
Correct.
You guys don't clip me and take this serious. If Mike Norvell wanted to bring in Willie Taggart as the offensive coordinator, people would be pissed about it, but he has the authority to do that. Yes. I feel like at Alabama, you're going to be critiqued for every single thing you're trying to do.
Right.
And so I don't see a high level coach like that, unless, you know, if you want to talk about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has never won anything in football. Nope. They've never won anything. So that's a different level of program when you step to Alabama. You know, you're talking about Oregon. Now, Oregon has never won a national championship, but
they've been in the playoff once.
And they got Nike money. They got Big Ten money now. So there's things there that they can do that Alabama can do as well. So yeah, man, I'm so excited. I'm so elated. But I do think a top level coach like this is gonna be humbling for Alabama. They're gonna have a hard time finding a guy. They're already what, two or three names down the list.
Yep.
And Dabo's probably coming up soon.
Well, if you go back to when Nick Saban announced his retire, and before we go anywhere else with this, can we just shout out to the GOAT? I mean, the man is the GOAT of college football.
Oh, 100%.
Bro won seven national titles, one with LSU, six with Alabama. He's put 49. I saw this stat the other day. I think it's 49 first-round draft picks and only 22 losses in his time at Alabama. Like, that's, I mean, that's just unreal. Crazy. It's unreal. So shout out to Nick Saban. I'm hopeful that he'll be a voice of reason for college football moving forward, help us to not get as crazy as we are. He said as much in his interview with Schmeese Davis, also known as Reese Davis. I don't like him very much, but he said as much that he's going to be a voice for college football. So great stuff. But when that got announced, right, and they came out with their hot board, you know, the first five names I saw was Dan Lanning, Dabo Sweeney, Kalen DeBoer from Washington, Mike Norvell, and there was one other person I can't think of right now. But it was those four names immediately. When I saw, and then the first thought I had was, who in the heck wants to follow Nick Saban?
Yep.
Now, listen, we're all, you know, men coaching this game. We all got egos. Those coaches definitely have egos. So it's not like they were thinking, oh, man, I'm going to fail if I go there. But there's some wisdom of saying, okay, literally Alabama fans expect us to be in the playoff at minimum every year. At minimum, right?
Right.
And yes, it's going to be a 12-team playoff. But if you go to Alabama and you win 9-3, you go 9-3 the first year, right? And let's say that either gets you in or you're on the cusp and you don't get in. You probably have one more season to fail. And by fail, they mean you don't get into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
You're probably going to get fired. And so if you're thinking about those coaches, it'd be wise to them to say, okay, wait. Hold on a second. Now, yes, it's Alabama. Yes, they've won six national. Yes, it's the prim and the creme de la creme of the SEC football. But like you said before, you don't want to be the guy after Saban. You want to be the guy that comes after the guy who came after Saban, right?
Yeah, everybody wants the Alabama job. You just don't want it first there's going to be unreal expectations. And the first time you put back-to-back 9-3 seasons together, you're out of there. You know what I mean? Or they're going to be forcing you to make staff changes and things like that. And I really do think, you know, in today's, like, over history, it's shown a lot where there's a lot of coaches that leave a really good situation to chase a better situation, and it ends up worse, and they don't have the same success, and then they get fired. You know, and you also think about, like, what Mike Norvell has went through to build this program. And again, you know, like, Alabama, shout out to Nick Saban for being, I mean, the greatest coach. And I mean, Bobby, but success-wise, I mean, no one has matched what he's done. But it's really impressive. And it's just that's a hard follow, man. That's hard to come behind someone who's had that much success.
That's right.
Without being a disappointment immediately. So I think that it is huge for Florida State to get this. I think it's a little humbling for them. And, you know, I do think it's funny, though, when you talk about the Alabama situation, there's a lot of people who they must be 16 years old because they don't remember Alabama pre-Nick Saban. Like, I said something the other day. I had posted on Twitter that I thought it would be, I don't care who they hire, as long as it's not Mike Norvell. But I hope they get the first one wrong, because I would laugh. It would be the most funny thing in the world to watch that fan base go through a few 8-4 seasons. That would be hilarious. And, you know, Bama Twitter comes out and it's like, hey, bull, we ain't no Florida State. This is Alabama over here now. And it's like, you do
blitz,
realize.
Bama blitz.
Blitz, Bama, piss on everybody except for Alabama, or whatever the guy says. But it's like, you know, you have between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, 50% of their seasons were 8-4 or less, and they had, I think, five losing seasons.
Yep.
So, like, there's no guarantee. The thing is, like, Nick Saban was the magic pill.
That's
not
right. He was.
The other way around. Like, Alabama didn't make Nick Saban. Nick Saban made, like, there, you know, a lot of people even said that they weren't sure who Alabama was going to be able to hire whenever they got him. So, you know, I think it was just that's going to be a hard sell to come right after somebody like Nick Saban. But, you know, this isn't an Alabama show, so we'll get back to Florida State. But that's just my thoughts on that situation. I think that's why they're having such a hard time, you know, doing that. And I do want to, before we go too far, I want to thank Trent Jacobs for contributing to the show. I work nights, so, you know, I know he knows that.
Fridays, you know, are my off days.
Right. I've actually been up since like yesterday, so I worked last night. So I actually just got home at 8 o'clock this morning. But yeah, man, this is, so it's huge, but it's funny because we were sitting here set up waiting to record, ready to go. And it's like, we don't know what show to record right now. We don't know if we're going to like get on here and be like, now we're looking for a new coach. We didn't know if we were going to have to put out a coaching hot board.
We were kind of talking
about that before the show. Like, well, who do you go after? And and I will say that, like, you know, had he have left, Florida State was in a much better position.
That's right.
You know, point blank to go out and get somebody. And you felt better about the admin to be able to make that decision. But now it's nice that you don't, because again, you have a guy who, the thing about Norvell is, like, you like him as a person. They've done things right on and off the field. And I understand there's some NCAA violations. We'll touch on that here in a little bit. You know, it's nothing like what you're seeing happen at Georgia and things like that with the off the field issues that they have that are borderline criminal. You know, but that is the culture, Michael, that we're supposed to be trying to achieve. You know, but that's neither here nor there. So that's the culture we're supposed to be after. But it's just so big, man, to be able to fend off somewhere like Alabama. And, you know, now I think that with, you know, again, Lanning turned it down, Sark turned it down, you know, Mike Norvell turned it down. And so I think you're going to see a lot of these guys that, because Mike Norvell has laid the foundation here. And let's be honest, he's went through hell to get this program back where it is. I mean, you know, if you
hell in a handbasket, man,
right? Like, you go all the way back to coming in during a COVID year, had to watch his first Florida State Miami game from his couch.
You had
some culture issues. You had to work out of the locker room, you know, with the Marvin Wilson situation and stuff like that that happened back then. You know, then you go through the recruiting day struggles the signing day struggles where you get some of your recruits flipped. And then again, you get Jordan hurt, and then you get, you know, the playoff snub and then the violation and all these things that he's been through. It just felt like, why would you leave now? You know what I mean? That you went through all that to be able to get them, this program, back to where it was. It would have been weird for me to see him leave. And that's why I felt like, you know, when we had the debate earlier, but while we were waiting to figure out what we needed to record, like, when you talk about him leaving versus Jimbo.
Yeah.
Jimbo left, would have, assuming Mike Norvell would have left, he would have left the program in much worse shape.
Yeah.
But you knew he was on his way out. He had already been shopping the LSU offer and things like that. But Mike Norvell would have been more painful to lose, because it would have literally been like being left at the altar. You would have felt like, what happened? You know, what did we do wrong besides in the ACC?
Right. It's kind of like what I described to you. Like, Jimbo, with Jimbo leaving, like you said, we had seen the signs of what was happening with Jimbo along the way, because, you know, all the stuff with that was going on in his personal life and the having to sign the accountability contract, all that stuff. And so, but what made us so mad was how he left the program, how he left it. But you tolerated Jimbo. Jimbo wasn't a guy that you were just so excited about. You tolerated him because he won you a national title. And he basically was the first coach after the beloved Bobby Bowden, right? Whereas Mike Norvell is a guy that you're like, I can go have a beer with. I can, like, chub it up with. I want to be on a fishing boat with Mike Norvell.
Right.
I want to hang out with him. That's like a brother. I will run through a wall for that man. And then for him to say, peace, man, that would have been just...
It would have ripped your heart out.
It would have ripped your heart out. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Especially after, you know, again, we had talked about it before the show, the speech after the whistle, where it's like, you know, after all that to leave, I don't think so, man. And on top of that, again, he never gave an indication that he was leaving. I mean, he's still literally signing Alabama players from the portal.
Correct.
And now you're talking about he's going to, like, why would you bring them on campus
when
you would be, like, if he obviously wants them at Florida State.
Right.
He would have wanted them at Alabama.
Right.
So that's why, like I told you in the beginning, man, I was like, I wasn't overly nervous. I wasn't panicking.
Right.
But of course, you had to be worried about a place like Alabama.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and just flexing their money. And I will say, like, it's crazy when you think about the Alabama coaching search. Like, if you want any question about what they expect out of this. You know, a guy 2 years ago that was basically a shoe-in. There was no doubt it was Dabo Swinney.
Everybody knew. Everybody knew.
Everybody knew that was going to happen. And it was like, this is still a guy who had two national titles in the last 10 years. He's recruited at a very high level. And yet one, I forget what they were this year, 9-4, like 1-9-4 season. And all of a sudden he's like fifth on the list.
Yeah.
So like, if that's not good enough, I just think coaches know there's going to be unreal expectations there. And right. Everybody has the expectations to win a national championship. But again, absolutely, that's what we talk about, those expectations. And also, again, like we talked about, you re-signed all the assistants to extensions as well. So you have the continuity in place. You've reloaded the roster for next year, because when you look at it, like, yeah, you have a lot more young, unproven players that you've brought in from the portal, outside of like DJU.
Yeah.
But you feel like with the talent that you've brought in and guys who have been at least developed at the college level, for a couple of years, this is a team that's going to compete for an ACC title this year. This is going to be a team that is going to be in the conversation for the 12-team playoff. And so it would have felt weird for Mike Norvell to want to walk away from that after basically reloading this roster.
Right.
And so,
right.
Yeah, man, I'm excited and I'm happy to have him around right now, because, you know, I don't think if Mike Norvell left, Florida State would have went back to 3-6, 5-7. I think you have better bones now.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like you said, you could have run the risk of you open that portal window up for 30 days and you could have lost some of these guys that you just brought in. But yeah,
I think we're thoroughly excited having him back. And on the other side of this, we have to be willing to admit at the same time, though, no one would have blamed Mike Norvell if, let's say, he did accept the job. Let's say the job was offered, because we don't know if the job was offered yet.
Right,
know he was supposed to be scheduled to interview today. We know he was supposed to be in Jacksonville for a Florida high school coaches. He was helping them try to get paid better. And at some point, that we know that the Alabama AD, Greg Brines, was going to be flying in to Georgia to get over to Jacksonville to potentially interview Mike Norvell. We know that. So let's say Georgia or Alabama does offer the job, and let's say Mike Norvell takes it. No one can blame him, right? We could be mad. We could be upset and all like that stuff, but no one would blame him after, one, it's Alabama, right? It's Alabama.
Yeah.
There are only three jobs. Now, listen, I've been a Florida State fan for 30 years. You've been a Florida State fan forever. We know how prestigious Florida State is. Florida State is a blue blood of college football, and it's the youngest blue blood of college football. It's a blue blood. It's one of the top 10. And
I don't know what happened. I guess we got booted a little bit, but we're back on.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of the top 10 jobs in the country, Florida State is. But there are three jobs that any coach, if you're not coaching there, you're at least going to listen. Alabama, right. Georgia, Ohio State, right? Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. You're going to listen. Maybe you might throw Texas in there as well, too. So four. Those four jobs, if they come calling you, you're at least, at the very minimum, going to hear what they have to say. And right. So no one faults Mike Norvell for taking the time to listen, to hear what it is. Also, no one faults Mike Norvell for leveraging this opportunity. Now, we all hate him, especially if you're a Florida State fan, Jimmy Sexton. But he's doing his job, which was leverage this opportunity to get those commitments. Make a little bit more money. Make sure you got more money for the support team, support staff that you need, because in this age of college football, you're going to need more and more and more and more support staff, right? Make sure you get the commitments financially. Make sure you get the commitment of the school to continue to promote. They don't give, but they promote the battles in, because we have one of the best, if not the best, NIL collective in the country. Everybody's right. Saying it. Everybody knows that Florida State is in the top three of NIL collectives. Texas A&M has another one, and I think Texas is the other one. We have to keep it that way. That is what is giving us the advantage while we're stuck in this crappy conference, right? And imagine when we get to the Big Ten, because that's probably where we're going.
I know.
With that NIL collective, the Death Star will be built. And so no one blames Mike Norvell for taking the opportunity to listen. But like you said, Jesse, at the same time, though, man, for somebody, this is my assumption. I have no insiders or anything like this. But my assumption is Mike Norvell probably told Jimmy Sexton, hey, look, I want to stay at Florida State, but I also know this is an opportunity we should, you know, do our best to try to negotiate some stuff. So don't mess it up. Don't mess it up, but get that stuff we need. And now he's back. And listen, he's already been building. You know, everybody's been saying, oh, this is probably an 8-4 season next year. Not to Mike Norvell. That bro trying to go undefeated again.
Yeah, I don't think so either, especially when you look at that schedule. And I will say, to your point, when you talk about Alabama, go on YouTube and find a video of their facilities. I mean, it is what it is. They're second to none. That's what happens when you've won 6 national championships in 17 years under Saban. But I do really, like I said, man, I just feel different about Mike Norvell. I really do feel like he's that genuine type of guy who wants to be at Florida State and really appreciates the thing. Because here's the truth, man. While we love 13-0 and all that, winning the ACC championship, like, people have to remember Florida State stuck with Mike Norvell when they were 0-4 and lost to Jacksonville State. Like, I think that has
that's
to
a big
pay
point.
Some, like, that has to pay some dividends too. Like, this school has shown they're loyal to you.
Yeah,
you know, they gave you an extension and all that and pay you $8 million off the back of a 10-3 season.
That's right.
So, like, I do think that reciprocating loyalty does pay off. And I think that's something to remember, too. This was also his first Power 5 job. You know, I know the situation that he walked into wasn't great, so maybe you were thankful that he even showed up. But, yeah, I think some of that loyalty really does make a big difference. And, again, I think the way he has put this program in a position to win next year
– yep.
It just doesn't seem like it would have been a smart time to leave, because if you, like you said, if you wind up out of the ACC, and I think it's going to happen.
Oh yeah,
I think it's going to happen sooner than later. Obviously, you're stuck this year.
You think? Yep.
Right. I think you're stuck this year. You know, and Mike Norvell knows way more about the status of that, I'm sure, than we do. But if you know you're out of the ACC in say a minimum of 3 to 5 years tops, I think it's going to be 1 year or 2 years.
Yeah.
Then it's like you now have Big Ten money. You're in the state of Florida. That's you have a program that you built the way you want. Yep. You know, you have your assistants, you have your people. So I think there was more reasons to stay than to leave, because really the only reason to leave was the fact that their facilities might be a little bit better right now, and they have SEC money right now, and they're in the SEC. And, you know, people will talk about the playoff snub situation and how that might have played into things. But, you know, the 12-team playoff – I got to say, like, as much as we think the whole thing was bullcrap or whatnot, there were some anomalies in 2023. You know, you had a lot of good power. You didn't have a conference essentially eliminate themselves.
Right.
You had your quarterback get hurt. You do get the 12-team playoff coming forward. So I don't necessarily know that it was going to be a situation where, oh, I got snubbed, I can't win a national championship here. I don't think that's the case. I don't think Mike Norvell believes that's the case.
No.
I think it's just you drew the short straw in the 1 year that it actually happened. And, you know, there's a lot to be said. Like, of course, Nick Saban retiring is literally like, you
tin
know.
Tinfoil hat, come
if
on.
You could, like, if you put a cherry on top of the tinfoil hat, then there you go. So, yeah, man, but I just think, like, when you look at Florida State as a whole and a guy who has basically hand rebuilt, because I don't want to say built, because Bobby Bowden built
Florida State,
hand rebuilt this program, there was more reason for him to stay than to leave.
Absolutely.
To go somewhere where you have to essentially start over, and you know, and all this stuff, and then you're having to, what assistance do you bring, or do you not? They just signed extensions, that's more buyout money and all this type of stuff. So yeah, man, it's just so exciting to have him here.
It
you know
is.
Especially when you felt like I'm gonna be honest, I feel like next year, will they be quite as good? I don't know. But I felt like next year was the redemption tour. Like, you're going to get pissed off Mike.
Oof, villain,
you know,
Mike.
What I mean? Like, let's villain go. Mike. Right. Yeah. Like, you're going to get villain Mike coming out. And I thought we were just going to go on a butt-whipping tour. But then you felt like, oh, my gosh, is this going to come crashing down already?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, too, you know, with Mike Norvell, you know, had he left, you know, like you said, I don't think Florida State would be back in the dark ages again, you know, back in the I don't even know what they call the years of Taggart and end of Jimbo, but you know, we had the lost decade and then we had the I call it the dark ages, but yeah. I don't think they go back that that bad. I do think that next year would have been very hard because, you know, when a coach leaves, NCAA rules allow for a 30-day window for all those players, whether they've transferred in or recruited in or, well, no, actually, the recruiting is different. If they're already part of the program, they get into the transfer portal. They can get into the transfer portal. With the recruited players, the school still holds on to their national letter of intent, so their NLI. Right. But like what has happened very often is that those players, they kind of wait until they get the new coach, and then they can get released from those national letters of intent. So you're looking at a detrimental 30 days if Mike Norvell had left and right. Florida State wasn't prepared to, at least like we said in the pre-show, you said, I thought it was so good, was a great point. Because of Mike Norvell's character, you likely believe that he would have told Alford pretty quickly if he was going to go to Bama. And then right. Alford definitely would have probably had until Wednesday at the longest yeah. to name a good head coach, somebody yeah. that was like, that would capture the attention of the portal and the players on the team and the high school recruits. I mean, you're talking about an avalanche, a tidal wave of just run of bad luck that would have been. So for Mike Norvell to come back, and not even come back, for Mike Norvell to stay put and say, no, this is a place I want to build this. I'm going to finish this. We're going to get this climb. We're going right. to do this. Like that just, I mean, you talk about juice in the engine, oh, you talk about gas in the engine. Oh my goodness. All right. gas, no brakes now.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like you would have wanted to find a replacement right away so your roster didn't fall apart. But I also think too, like on the flip side of that, now that you're paying him $10 million a year, now that you've signed that 8-year extension, now that right. his, you know, and this is a conversation for another day with the extending the assistance.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them deserve it. Some of them, you know, there's a conversation for another day. Questions. We actually had that whole conversation on another episode, but we didn't air it because every time we push record, some news breaks. And I work nights, and every time I go to sleep, we get a recruitment. So I guess I'll just go take a nap and you never know who we'll get. But yeah, man, I think the important thing too now is you can remove any kind of negative recruiting against yep. Mike Norvell that, oh, he's going to leave. The right. ACC got left out. You know, right. he could get poached at any moment. That's all gone.
Correct.
And so, you know, I do want to touch on a comment that we had here talking about Dabo not being at the top of the list anymore, more for the personality stuff. And I do think that Dabo might be in line for Alabama still. I think that does have a lot to do with it. I think that the reluctancy to use the portal is also part of that. You want a coach who's shown that he's willing to adapt and not be stuck like that. I feel like he's a little stale at Clemson. You know, you had the whole Tyler from Spartanburg situation. You've had the comments where he was like, maybe we should lose some games, you know, to make the fans more appreciative. I feel like in two sides of the coin here, one that tells you that I don't think Dabo wants the pressure that's going to come with Alabama. If you're feeling the pressure at Clemson,
yeah,
that's yep. going to be 10 times as worse. And I also yep. think on the other side of that coin is like, I don't think Alabama likes comments like that. You know what I mean? Yep. They right. expect you to come in and do that every single year.
That's
so
right.
I do think it's just his inability to adapt some of the personality traits that he's shown, you know, again, arguing with fans on a call-in show and all this yeah. type of stuff. I think that did make a difference probably in them wanting to hire him. But, you know, again, he's still one of four coaches that are currently coaching with a national championship. So I'm sure they're going to take a swing at him because right, they're kind of running out of options right now.
Yeah. You well, absolutely. I mean? Well, I think too, I think part of it is also I say this not because I'm an ageist or anything like that, but I do think when you look at Dabo's age and you look at the comments that Nick Saban made in that interview with Reese Davis, you know, he talked about, you know, being 72 and trying to stay up and just not being able to give all of his energy and time and, you know, just the re-recruiting of the roster and the NIL stuff and the portal and everything that you have to do. I mean, Dabo is 54. He's 54 years old. And so I do think that in some ways the Alabama brass are probably thinking about, we need a coach who might be more connected to this era of players, right? Right? Who understands how to talk to this era of players. Because if you look at Dabo, yes, he's still recruiting his butt off and he's still getting the players. No, know about that, but he's not connecting well with a lot of them. He's not connecting well with a lot of his own rosters. You're seeing players transfer out of his program. You know, he said, you know, there's been speculation from the Clemson side of the media that he's going to embrace the portal more, and yet we've yet to see taking somebody from the portal. And if there's one thing we know about Alabama, I'm going to say this real carefully. If one thing we know about Alabama, they want to win. They don't care how you get it done. Right?
Exactly.
They just want to win. And if Dabble's not open to winning, however they can win, then yeah, I totally understand why. If you'd asked us 2 or 3 years ago, oh yeah, Dabble was a shoe-in as the heir apparent to Nick Saban. I mean, he went to Alabama. He played wide receiver at Alabama, graduated from Alabama. For sure, Dabble's the person. But now, later? Nah. I think they're going to exhaust. If Kalen DeBoer, which is next on their list of the list, if Kalen DeBoer isn't that guy, I actually think there's probably still a couple more guys before you get, and this is crazy to even think about this, because he is one of two sitting coaches who are currently coaching right now that has won a national title. Because I don't count Jim Harbaugh because he's probably leaving. So one of three, if you want to count that. So one of three, him, Kirby Smart, and Jim Harbaugh. They're only three that have won a national title, right? That is still coaching right now. And so it's crazy to think that Dabo is your desperate option for Alabama.
They might get desperate enough to hire Deion.
Oh my.
Down the line.
Now listen, let me say this real quick. Okay, because I know it's crazy. It's asinine to even think that they would even talk to Deion. But man, you give Deion, and listen, I'm not a big fan of him right now, even though he's a Florida State alum. You give him Alabama's resources and let him go out and hire like some really good coaches. That's a scary sight.
Kill it in recruiting, and I think he would have done it here. I don't want him as the coach, but
yeah.
I think you would have had to budget something crazy like $2 or $3 million for some really, really top level coordinators.
Yes.
You know, that would have been something, because he's just, you have 1 year at Power Five where you went 4-8.
Right.
Like that wasn't a very good sell.
No.
You know, but that would be getting way down the list, I feel like. But yeah, man, it's so huge to get Mike Norvell back, because you feel like, now the glue that held your program together is here. And, you know, when you talk about the conversation of why Nick left the game, because it's changed so much and it's hard to keep up with everything that you have to do. And you also, now you get your coach back, who's such a young guy. He's got such a long future ahead of him. He's got the energy to compete in college football for a long time. Like,
that's right.
You know, I don't know that it's going to happen, because he's from Georgia. I think he loves where he's at. But, you know, there's a lot of smoke that Kirby Smart could test the water with the Falcons.
That's right.
Yep. And a lot of that is just because I think, you know, you look at with coaches now at the college level, you're doing twice the work for the same amount of money. So you could to the NFL and have a lot easier ride there. So with that being said, we'll kind of reset the picture here a little bit. Again, guys, if you're just joining in, Mike Norvell has elected to stay at Florida State.
Yes.
We see that per social media, roughly $10 million a year contract for the next 8 years. So he is going to be in Tallahassee for the foreseeable future. Hopefully, I hope not with Jimmy Sexton at the agent. Probably not. I hope for once in our history, Florida State actually got a decent buyout option on these contracts, because, you know, we basically got nothing for Jimbo.
That's right.
And then you would have got $4 million for Mike Norvell right after he signed another extension. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe we can get a big buyout off of this. And like you said, it could be a two-edged sword where you may have to pay that buyout, but you pretty much know Mike Norvell is the guy you want.
Right.
So now I think you're more comfortable negotiating that larger buyout.
Right.
Now, to touch on the subject at hand, because we were going to talk about this on a show, you know, with the coaching situation, and this will serve as that. So we'll go ahead and talk about it. There was the level two NCAA violations that recently come out. I think it's worth at least touching on that real quick. Now, first off, again, if you want to go with the conspiracy and stuff like that, I think you got, you know, you got Stan Wilcox's greasy self up there in the NCAA offices that really put your program in a bad situation. And, you know, Florida State just filed a lawsuit, and he was the sitting AD when that happened. A lot of those deals were made. So that he's probably named in that lawsuit. And it's no coincidence that this happened to come out when it did. Yeah. But to just to get the nuts and bolts on the situation, because it, again, it's first off, it's a level two. Level two, this is, it's like, you know, it's like a, the low score is worse. It's like golf or whatever.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
I guess that's better. Right. Opposite of golf.
The level higher one, score. Yes.
The higher score, the better. You want, right. You want a level two, not a level one. So first off, it does not affect Mike Norvell. He will not be sidelined or anything like that. Basically what happened was Alex Atkins Uber drivered a recruit that we didn't even land.
They would even land
Amarius Mims, and he drove them to a meeting with Rising Spear, and he was not signed. So correct. The problem with that is you were facilitating an inducement to play because there was an offer made. Had he have been signed, then, it wouldn't have been a big deal. It wouldn't have been a deal at all. Now, the first and most important thing to say to this, for those who don't know, that was not the battle's end. Because there is a period where they have to have a disassociation from the collection or correct. The collective. It's not the battle's end, so you have nothing to worry about there. Mike Norvell will not be affected. The battle's end will not be affected. Alex Atkins has to serve a 3-game suspension starting next year. You know, you get Georgia Tech first. I don't really know who you get in the second 2 games. We'll have to wait and see. The schedule does come out the end of January. The thing is, he's not your play caller. So losing your offensive coordinator for 3 games isn't ideal, but it's not to the point where, you know, he's not a play caller. You're not losing your play caller. And I don't know if this is going to be like the Harbaugh situation, because his suspension came from the conference, not the NCAA level.
Right.
Where he was still allowed to coach during the week. He just couldn't be there for the games.
Yes, that's basically the same thing. I read up on this. So basically he can coach during the week. He can be at practice, all that stuff. He literally just cannot be a game day coach. So I imagine that when they go to Ireland, he'll be in Ireland. He just won't be at the game.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure his wife is not missing that trip overseas. I mean? I'm sure she's been looking forward to that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to make a huge hill of beans here. Yeah. When you talk about it now, there were some other things as well. Like, he does have a 2-year show cause. So while that's not great for his prospects of becoming a head coach, so yeah. I know that stinks for him. Chances are he's going to be around here for at least the next 2 years now, especially correct. With Mike Norvell getting the extension. And basically all that is you just got to show cause why you're hiring.
Right.
So at the same time.
And schools like to avoid those things. So
right. So you feel good about him being here for a little bit anyway. You know, maybe that's because this has been going on for a while. This has been being negotiated. This is not something that just happened popped today.
Up. Right.
The NCAA doesn't move fast on anything.
No.
So maybe this is why we saw the extension be signed. Now, they did lose 5 scholarships over 2 years. That's not ideal, but here's the interesting thing when you talk about the loss of scholarships. Of course it is important. I mean, 5 scholarships over 2 years, that's a lot. But with NIL, things are totally different. And like I went on, I did some looking around, and on Florida State's website, they have basically a breakdown of what it would cost to attend FSU and I'm going as an out-of-state student because most of the kids are out-of-state, unless you get the Florida ones. This number's way lower. But between tuition, room and board, meals, this was like an all-in estimate.
Right.
Football players don't pay for a majority of their meals. They get a lot of things that students don't get. They get the stipend and all that stuff. The all-in cost was around $40,000 a year for an out-of-state student. You can cover that in NIL. I mean, they were offering Amarius Mims $15,000 a month.
That's $180,000 a year, son.
You can cover that easily. So that is something to think about as well. You can kind of make up for the loss of scholarships there.
Right.
You know, and then there's some different things on the visits. They'll be allowed to do certain things there. Now, the other thing is a few of these things have already been served. They were in the 2023 season. So some of these things you're already out of. And again, Florida State just went 13-0 under these situations. Now, you are on 2 years of probation. That is basically just hey, you messed up. Don't mess up again.
Right.
It's not a postseason ban of any type. It doesn't affect like your portal recruiting. I know there's been some questions about that. You're still allowed to do all that stuff. And so, you know, again, the thing too about the article that broke this is, you know, obviously this feels like everyone's after Florida State. It's Florida State against the world. And it does feel that way. And it's always been that way in a sense.
Always been that way.
But from what the article said, Florida State may have been the first to catch this. they're not going to be the last. Now, the NCAA has absolutely zero teeth. You know, this is the one time, like, it's like the only reason they exist is to collect basketball money and fine money and deny kids waivers. Right. But I think you're going to see some other things come out. Now, the funny thing about the whole situation is, like, this is why people have been screaming for years. You got to have some guardrails. You got to have some guidelines on this because, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, they didn't even know this was a lot of this was a violation. You just don't know.
Who knew that you could not get into a car with a transfer portal recruit and drive him to a meeting? Like, you're like, hey, I'm going to be driving you everywhere while you're on a trip with us. And part of everywhere is your meeting to meet with a NIL collective to talk about NIL opportunities. It wasn't like you were saying, hey, I'm taking you to this place and we're going to tell you this is how much money you're going to get. No. The coach left after he dropped you off. Now, one point of clarification for everybody listening is it was not just the fact that Atkins drove him to this meeting that was also an inducement. Where the inducement came on is the fact that the representative who was the CEO of Rising Spear at the time was also a Florida State booster. And being a booster, and this has been a rule forever, if you go back to those SMU days and the death penalty there, if you give money to the university, you are not allowed to in any way elicit a pay for play scheme, right? And so because that booster, he was a current booster and he was in that meeting and basically said, if you come to Florida State, you'll get $15,000 a month. That is what kind of culminated all the driving, the booster, the 15,000 culminated in an inducement for play. And so who knew that was a rule?
Right. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, to be straightforward, it was a violation.
It was a violation.
They're guilty of it. It is, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You're guilty. The issue that I have more than anything with this whole situation is that the punishment has not really been consistent with some of the things that the NCAA has done in the past.
Right.
And basically every school does this. I mean, when you hear about the kids on signing days, like KJ Bolden talking about, I got X offer and X offer, that's an inducement. So
thank
like
you,
I think it's, you probably got a lot of schools nervous right now. You know what I mean? Cause know it may be coming for them.
Looking at you, Georgia.
Right. And you know, Florida State did negotiate this thing, probably because they just wanted it to be done with. And you knew that if you take this, it can't be this. So it can't be worse. So you can live with this. You know, so they were guilty and it is what it is. But the thing that, like I said, that drives me crazy with it is the inconsistency and the fact that you also have the NCAA president come out and the whole Michigan situation. They're still investigating that. So their punishment could come down from the NCAA at some point. The 3-game suspension was by the conference. Now, by serving that, you essentially admit you were guilty. You were cheating. But at the same time, the NCAA president came out and said that they won the title fair and square. Dude, no.
Like, no, they did not.
No, they did not. And so, like, it's that to me, that does speak a little bit more to the, like, it's picking on Florida State or whatever the case may be. But yeah, so the sanctions and all that stuff, like, it is something to talk about. I don't think it's going to cause a big hindrance in this program. I don't think they're going to miss a step with NIL and the portal and things like that. No. They're, you know, I mean, you could have a guy come on as a PWO.
Right.
And you just pay for a scholarship out of NIL money. It is what it is. You know, you can make that happen. So you can make up for that. But I just wanted to touch on that. Because again, that's a situation that everybody's been kind of wondering about, and just to provide some clarification on that as well. You know, but the NCAA, it's still a joke. It's still a purposeless entity. And I think it's time for college football to break away from it. Yeah, I mean, at the same time, like, if I'm Mike Norvell, I'm just like, bump y'all. You know what I mean? What are you going to do about it? So that I do think it's just a situation we wanted to address. But again, Mike Norvell is back. He is, well, like you said, he's not back. He's just not leaving. He's staying. Yeah. So the good news comes in for FSU. Super excited to be able to report this, because I'm telling you, man, like, we were nervous for a little bit here. We were trying to figure out what that smoke tweet meant, and was like, man, is this good smoke or is this bad smoke? Because you obviously never want to lose someone who's shown the ability to coach. Because here's the thing.
Absolutely.
When, when you talk about the conversation about Mike Norvell for Alabama, sure, there's things like the recruiting misses and stuff like that, that that we admitted in the beginning was a problem. And it could eventually be a problem here down the line. Now, you've been able to supplement what your misses in high school at the portal level. And over 2,000 kids entered the portal this year. So
that's right.
The portal's not going away.
No,
they just, you know, they did away with the second time transfer rule. So now you can transfer, you know, however many times you want. You know, Mike Norvell could have taken all these guys back to Alabama if he had left. So that's how crazy it is. But it, you know, it may come to a point where you don't find the pieces that you need.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, again, I think that the way he set this whole thing up, it's just you didn't want to lose that level of coach. And I say coach because I felt like out of the candidates that you had for the Bama job and all this stuff, Mike Norvell was probably one of the best between the lines coaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe you could argue that the recruiting isn't there. Maybe that's partly to do with some of the members of the staff. But when you just talk about an X's and O's guy,
yeah,
you know, he's a play caller for Florida State. He's one of the best coaches
You
know, out there. He's one of the best offensive minds right now. He's rebuilt a program from the dumps of 3-6 or 3-9 or whatever it was to 13-0. And then of course the Orange Bowl situation happened, which would have been different had you had your starter. So it was really big to keep a guy like that level of coach. And I think that's why Alabama wanted him, because you had a guy who could come in and do the X's and O's type thing.
That's right.
You know, and yeah, again, he lost his offensive coordinator, Kenny Dillingham, and their offense almost got better.
Yeah. But not almost. They did. And it's not this is not a diss to Dilly out there. We love Dilly. Go Dilly.
Right.
Arizona State, fork up, whatever you call it. But the offense got better. Now, you could say that's because Jordan
Travis. I was going to say, a little bit of that's Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of that's Jordan, a little bit of that's getting the weapons, getting Johnny, getting Keon, getting Jaheim, you know, Biscuit getting better. I mean, but at the end of the day, you clearly see that Mike Norvell can develop. He can coach. He is an insane genius when it comes to offensive structure and offensive play calling. And he can recruit. Now, that's been made clear. He can recruit. There's some concern about some other staff members on the team, in the program, that maybe can't recruit as well. Mike Norvell can recruit. Yes, he's had those three commits flip on him. But one, you have to understand, he wasn't the lead recruiter of all of those. And then two, Florida State it's still on its climb. I mean, you know, when Travis Hunter flipped, Florida State hadn't proven anything. When, what's his name?
The kid to Auburn.
Yeah, the kid went to Auburn.
Keldrick Fault.
Yeah, Keldrick Fault. Florida State had just come off a 10-3 season. There wasn't really proof in the pudding yet. Like, we had it, whatever. And then this year with KJ Bowden, I mean, if the rumors are true and you get $3 million offer on signing day, which NCAA, that's called inducement,
right?
Exactly. Then yeah, of course, like, stuff's gonna happen like that. And yeah, he still has some learning to do. He still has some shore up in his recruiting, stuff like that. But listen, man, there is no better coach for Florida State in this era as we go through getting out of the ACC, making the climb, getting back to that elite status. Than Mike Norvell. And I am over the top thrilled that he's going to be with us.
100%. Because, you know, we had talked about how the program was in a better position as a whole. Yep. Like, you have a better AD, your financial situation is better. You know, shout out to Stan Wilcox for crashing us financially as well.
Thank you, Stan Wilcox.
Right, exactly, for doing all this. But, you know, the thing is, I didn't feel like Florida State was going to ever be back. Well, I guess you can't say ever.
Right.
But in the near term, they were not going to be back to that, any losing seasons. But you felt like with Mike Norvell, you're probably, your floor is like 8 or 9 to 10 wins.
Right.
And next year, you know, when you look at the schedule, I mean, you travel to Notre Dame.
Yep. That's going to be a hard one.
You get Clemson at home. Thank
goodness.
You know, Miami, I think, could be a challenge on the road, but they don't have a quarterback. So
or fan base. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I think that, you know, outside of that, you get Florida in Tallahassee.
Yes, you do.
So, to me, I'm thinking next year, and we are going to do an episode on a way too early look at 2024
once we kind of settle down.
Right. There's been so much that's broke, and the conversation has changed so much over the past, say, week or so, when you just talk about the amount of transfers that they brought in since we were originally trying to do the episode.
Right.
We were supposed to do that episode today. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. But there's so much. We didn't know what 2024 was going to look like. You might not have a coach or any of the transfers. But I think this is a team that is poised to have about a 10-win floor next year. I mean, yeah, with the talent that you've brought in. Right. And the other thing, too, is Roydell Williams, Alabama running back, is on campus right now for a visit.
Right
Richie
now.
Richie Leonard, an offensive lineman for Florida, is supposed to be visiting this weekend. Right. And be on the lookout. We're going to be recording a full-on transfer recap show coming up real soon that we'll have ready for you guys. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely one where you do feel like now that you have your guy in place, you have the assistants in place, you have that right. consistency. And again, man, like I know people will talk about some of the struggles that the assistants have on the recruiting trail. And you can't argue with the results on the field, but this is right. one of the things that led to a lot of Bowden's success was
right.
just the continuity and the consistency. Yes. You know, I mean, how long was Mickey Andrews there? You know, how long was Mark Richt there before he went on to Georgia for a head coaching role, which can't blame him for, but and this comment we got, old Boo can't keep us down.
Old That's Boo right. can't but, keep us like, down.
I know we're trying to get out of the ACC, but Boo's probably like, dang it, man! They're gonna be kicking our butt. They're gonna be kicking our butt again, which is funny, man. Because again, NC State once again finds a way to not win 10 games in a season. So you know, again, I don't know, man. But
so sick of them.
Right. And so, like, I think Florida State now going forward, you know, what does all this mean? I think you stabilize the ship. You have your lead man in place. You know, they've worked so hard. Now, I understand you can carry relationships over to a new program. I get that. But you've built so many ties in the state of Florida that he didn't have when he came, when he came here.
Correct.
And this was one of the reasons that I thought it was going to be hard for him to leave a place like Florida State, where you've been through so much and you've gotten back to where it is. It's, you know, he's loved here.
Right.
He was loved at Memphis. And yes. we saw how it was a difficult decision. He had a hard time leaving Memphis. And the love and support and the outburst of love and support that he had when he left Memphis by the Memphis crowd let you know that the type of coach that he was. And he's revered the same way here, of course, now that we're winning, of course.
Yeah.
But now that you lock him up, you lock the assistants up, and you have those ties in the state of Florida, it was like you feel like things are rolling now. And as long as this didn't screw you and you end up losing your coach, that you are in a position to really make a run, whether you're in the ACC
or not.
And now, of course, if you get out of the ACC, which we both agree that we think is going to happen in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years, and you start playing around with Big Ten money, because again, Florida State on the one conversation where you talk about one of the newest blue bloods around, they really have a relatively small booster base. Like
they do.
You have a 50-year programs like Georgia and like Alabama and like Florida had a 50-year head start on you to build a booster base, to build an alumni base. Florida State has really done a lot with less for a long time.
Thank you.
And if you can give them that Big Ten money, like, man, if you can give them the money to get the facilities that Ohio State and Alabama have and all these things, man, watch out, because you have a staff that has shown you that they produced, again, I'm wiping the orange, like I Men in Black flashed myself for the Orange Bowl. We're not even going there. But like you went 13-0 and won an ACC championship with a roster that was, you know, not the most top tier roster. You had a lot of talent, but we're just talking about like blue chip ratios and things like that. You know, you don't have
a top heavy roster.
Right. You don't have a ton of the money that some of the other schools have. You're in the ACC, but like, man, you have a staff that they're upping the talent floor.
Yep.
They have a potential to enter a conference where they're going to make a ton more money.
Yep.
And so, like, if they're at this level now, just imagine when that blue chip ratio is above 50%, when they do have Big Ten money to play with.
Right. Well, I mean, this is the thing. We have to understand, Florida State, there's a reason why the nation, okay, there's a reason why people don't want to see Florida State at it again. Because let's just go back. Okay, 1985-ish is when they really started to come onto the landscape, right? Where they really started to get like, oh, what's this little school called Florida State? And then they basically, I think Bowden lost, what, 4 games in the 90s or something like that? It was wild.
Right.
I think it was seven. He lost like 7 games in the 90s, you know, played for 3 national championships, won 2 of them. Like, there's a reason why Florida State is because we are in the hotbed of one of the greatest recruiting states in the country. We have brand recognition. The everybody knows the Seminole logo. Everybody knows the war chant, right? You got your grandma's, uncle's, daddy's, cousin's brother who used to play for Florida State, right? And so this is a sleeping giant every era of college football. Right. And it took Bowden to unlock it. Bowden unlocked it, went on this crazy run. Then he, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, we love Bowden, but I mean, he hung on just a little bit too long. Jimbo comes in a different era of college football, unlocks it, boom, blows up again. Then we had a terrible Willie Taggart era. Then we bring in Mike Norvell. It's taken maybe a little bit longer than Mike would have hoped, you know. Obviously, COVID messed the whole progress up. I still honestly believe that if we didn't have COVID, it might look a little bit different, but still.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Right? So now here we are coming off of 10-3, 13-0, and he is about to unlock this sleeping giant again in a different era of college football. That is why Florida State has been successful in every era of college football, right? Why would you... Of course, nobody wants Florida State to be successful because they know that if Mike Norvell can crack it, you're looking at a potential run like Alabama went on.
Right. I mean, if you look at like Texas A&M, they haven't won. I think they haven't won really, and they got more money than anybody.
No, I think their national title came in like the 40s.
The 40s, right, exactly, when they were wearing leather helmets and stuff like that. The forward pass wasn't even allowed. But like you have two different coaches that have won a national championship at Florida State. You have three different coaches, you know, it should be three different coaches that could have won a national championship, but that again, but three different coaches that have went undefeated.
Correct.
You know, Florida's been playing football for 120 years, and they've never went undefeated.
Thank you.
So, and again, that's also looking back at a program that hasn't always been in the ACC. And you've also been, you know, there's the ACC always hasn't, they've been up and down, but they haven't always been bad. But I mean, again, this is one of those where like, this is so big for Florida State to fend off the premier. And I know you can argue Georgia's neck and neck with them, 1A, 1B, but to fend off the premier program in the SEC to keep your coach, I feel like we're headed for the moon, man. Like
that's right.
We're about to be real good again, Michael. I'm being honest. Like the way that he just kills the portal and all this stuff, and man, I just feel like this was so big for Florida State. Like
it's huge,
man. We're gonna be whooping some ass coming up, buddy.
Yeah,
I got that feeling because yeah. I was ready to come out like. Even when we were going to do the transfer portal preview show, like from the guys that got, like my opening line was going to be like, Michael, we're about to be good again, boy. About to be real good again. And then it was like, oh, crap, Mike Norvell might be leaving. And this might be a house of cards.
We didn't know.
Right. But now you lock them in. And I do want to just share this real quick. Florida State has released a statement by Mike Norvell. It says, we came to Tallahassee 4 years ago, and it was a life-changing experience. Knowing great history, tradition, and expectation has guided our staff on a daily basis. It has been an incredible journey these last 4 years, and I've fallen in love with this program, the university, and the people who I get to represent. I'm so excited to continue our climb to push Florida State back to the top of college football. We are committed to being our best on and off the field while helping develop our players to be their best in every area of their lives. I am incredibly thankful for the amazing commitment into our student athletes and staff from President McCullough, AD Alford, and the Board of Trustees. Keep climbing and go Noles. And I think, again, man, I just really, really do feel like he has a love for this program. Like we talked about, the hell that he went through during the rebuild process, you know, you have to, it's almost like if you, and I don't have kids, so I can't really speak on this a whole lot, but like, you know, if you had that troublesome kid that like was just a little badass coming up and then you finally see him turn him into something, like you're extra proud of him for making it. And so what he went through to get this program back to where it is, I think he really does. And like I mentioned, for those who didn't hear me make this comment earlier, the fact that Florida State,
I was just going to say that.
By Mike Norvell.
That's right.
During the tough times of that, you know, when it was 0-4 and they had lost to Jacksonville State, and everybody was like, is this our guy? Like, are we going to have to switch coaches again?
Right.
And they stuck by him and gave him what he needed to get back to where they are. I think that means something to a guy like Mike Norvell. And
so, you don't think Alford, as he was negotiating with Jimmy Sexton and Mike Norvell somewhere in the room, he's like, listen, man, Mike, don't don't forget, you were 0-4. We could have fired you. Here's $10 million. Like, exactly. Let's go, right? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, when a lot of people are screaming to fire you, they're giving you an extension. So, like, exactly. Yeah, man. And I think it's because you saw the fabric of what he was doing. You know what I mean? You saw everything being done the right way. You just knew it was simply, now, again, this doesn't count when you, the talent issue should have still won you the Jacksonville State game. So there was some other issues.
Yeah.
But you knew it was mostly a talent issue. And now that they get that, you know what I mean? Now that they got the talent there, it's like, you know, again, and I'll pop this comment up here because we actually talked, you know, we talked about this earlier. I really do feel like you had that young, eager coach who put his fingerprints on this program. Because again, Bobby built Florida State. We are not taking that away.
Don't take that away.
But where Mike Norvell found it to where he pushed it back to is a 9-day difference. And so, you know, I think that you just have that, really that Bobby Bowden-esque type of coach.
Oh, man.
You know, that really makes you feel like he's going to be here for a long time. I mean, again, if you fended off Alabama, the premier SEC job right now, then you have to feel really good about it. I mean, you got a guy who's in the most talent-rich state in the country at a program that is the flagship program for the state. You know, you got the other two programs that are struggling, and you know, Florida might be looking for a coach coming up and all that, and you've already reloaded the roster. I mean,
that's right.
Again, I'm you know, we can touch on it now, but I'm super excited for this transfer show that we're getting ready to record, because you know, before it was kind of like, all right, well, we need some pieces, and then it was like, okay, you got DJU, you got your quarterback, what are we going to do around him?
Right.
And then it's like, boom, 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 piece after piece after piece. And it's like, man, you got some real dudes that are going to be on this roster
coming.
And so I feel like it would have just been so crazy for him to leave right now when you have this thing rolling the way it is. And that's the same thing I said about Dan Lanning.
Yep.
Maybe Washington, like DeBoer, I could see where he would stay at Washington because you know, you're in the Big Ten now. I think that's a little bit different of a situation because the geography is hard and you don't have Nike money there. You know, if it's not for Michael Penix, you're probably not to the you're probably not in the national title game this year. Your success hampered really. Now, I know they had a lot of other good players. A lot of your success was derived from one person.
Right.
Whereas some of the other ones.
They have the I think with DeBoer, like, the difference is, I mean, if we're being honest, one of the reasons, because Oregon has always been the program that gets the coach succeeds crazy well there, and then some program comes in and poaches him away because it's Oregon. It's out in the West Coast.
Right.
Yes, you got all that Nike money, but do you really have a shot to win a national title, right? Chip Kelly was the only one that was closest enough to get him in there. Mark Leftwich was the only one closest enough to get him in there. So do you really have the opportunity to play for a national title? Well, now that they're going to the Big Ten, now they're going to get Big Ten money. They got all the Nike money. Dan Lanning's like, why do I need to leave this right now? Like, I'm set.
Right.
Then you look at Kalen DeBoer and he's in Washington and he's like, well, yeah, we're going to the Big Ten. So we're going to have Big Ten money. Yes, we were in the national title game against Michigan with a transfer quarterback. And we have the number one transfer quarterback coming in this year. They have another transfer quarterback that was top that's going to come in next year. Yeah. And Kalen DeBoer has won everywhere he's been. He was, he won a couple of titles in the NAIA. He's won everywhere, and now he's winning at Washington. In my mind, unless Bama comes at me with a $10, $11 million paycheck, why am I leaving Washington? I have it set up to win again.
Right.
Why would I go into Bama?
Right, and I think that's the same conversation that you have with Oregon, with Texas. You know, why would Sark leave? Texas has more money than Alabama, and you're an SEC team now. So why would you make that move? That doesn't make any sense. The same thing with Lanning. And look, man, I mean, you can put me on the record right now. I think Dan Lanning will bring Oregon their first national championship, and it dang well might be in 2024 because, man, let me tell you what.
They look loaded.
Right. They just got the five-star Texas A&M kid. They got Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma.
The other quarterback, UCLA quarterback, Dante Moore. Yeah.
Right. So, like, you have a five-star sitting behind a five-star. Like, he's going to do some things at Oregon. I don't doubt that. And, you know, you're farther out there. So it's harder to get kids from the South, the most talent-rich area in the nation. You also don't have as many battles to fight. You know what I mean?
That's true.
it stinks for him that Washington got good at the same time, and USC is kind of on the rise with Lincoln Riley. But
right, that's it.
I mean, you got three teams that you're competing against, and you know, now that the Pac-12 or two or whatever it is pretty much on the way out, like, you don't have to fight those battles for a lot of the California kids.
Right.
And so that's why I thought, you know, I didn't think he was going to leave. And again, man, I think Alabama fans are probably nervous right now, because now that you've had the top 3 to 4 candidates not willing to jump at Alabama.
Yep.
But again, a lot of that, like we talked about, a lot of that comes back to the expectations that you're going to have as soon as you walk in the door. You know, if don't, the first time you don't win the SEC for a few years. Now, I'll tell you who's probably the happiest person in the world besides me, you, and everyone watching this. Well, it's got to be Kirby Smart.
Oh, God.
Because Kirby Smart is like, they have the, you know, the premier program right now. Yep. They just can't beat Nick Saban in Atlanta. So, like, I'm sure he turned a backflip as soon as he found out Saban was retiring.
That's right.
You know, so they got to be super happy in Athens about that. But I do want to read one more thing, because this is a statement on the other side of what Norvell put out. This is what Alford put out. We, AD Michael Alford, we are thrilled that Coach Norvell has reaffirmed his commitment to Florida State University. I'm sure $10 million helped that. And our student athletes. He said, throughout his time at FSU, it has been clear how special he is as a person. He is truly so much more than merely a great football coach. His dignity, class, warmth, humility, and professionalism is evident to anyone in his presence. We know how fortunate we are to have him as our head football coach, and our university is blessed to have him as one of its most visible ambassadors. Again, we talked about the person that he is.
That's right. That's right.
As we move forward into a bright future, it is incredibly reassuring to know that Mike remains steadfast and focused on continuing his unifying, collaborative relationships with all of us at FSU. I'm elated to continue this journey together. And again, man, that just stretches back to what we were talking about he's got his people in here.
Yeah.
You know, he's hand chosen the ones that are here. And you know that you have Michael Alford, who's a great AD. And that's not to say Alabama's not a, you know, great earner or whatever is not a great AD as well. But you have an AD that shares a vision with you, and you have the facility that is going to come online. You may not have what Alabama has right now.
Right.
But you also know that if you walk into Alabama and things don't go well, you're going to get fired, and then you might not be able to get another job like Florida State. I mean, of course, he would get another job, but not as the prestige of Florida State. But you know that if Florida State makes it out of the ACC and they find their way into the Big Ten and they get that Big Ten money at the rate you're going now, the facilities are coming online. I don't love them, but the Doak renovations are happening right now. And all these things. But I think the reason that is important is, like, as Mike Norvell, you know that's coming. And maybe you get a little bit more, you know, on the side, maybe get a little more guarantee. Like, these things are going to happen for sure in the negotiation process. But again, like, if you already have the foundation laid to go 13-0 in the regular season, win an ACC championship, and then knowing possibly your future is going to contain Big Ten money, where you will have facilities like the Ohio States, like the Alabamas, like the Georgias, once that money, because $30 to $40 million a year, that's a lot of money
to be missing and to get.
Right. And so if you know that is the future going forward, that is the road ahead, I just don't see why you would want to leave. And what's funniest about the whole situation, Michael, and I'll kick it back to you on this, but what's funny is, like, everybody, you got, like, SEC fans, especially Alabama fans, you got them just
up in arms.
They're in a mind F right now, because it's been a really confusing week for those Alabama fans. Like, I don't know what's going on right now, man, because you got to figure, at the end, at the playoff committee thing, you had to go with, well, Mike Norvell isn't a great coach. Their team wasn't very good. To, he might be our coach. He is really good.
He's so good.
And now he passed on you, and now he's going to suck again. And that's the same thing that all the rivals are going to say, too. They're going to be like, nobody wanted Mike Norvell. That's the comments that I hear. And I'm telling you guys, like, oh, man, everybody has an opinion. And since I've started this whole thing and running a page with, you know, tens of thousands of followers right now or whatever across all platforms, you see a range of opinions.
Yes, you do.
Some of these takes are, I would not put myself out there on the internet like that with some of the takes that people have. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just like people want to find a way to trash Mike Norvell as a coach. Right. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You can't say that he's not a good coach. And when you have a program like Alabama, maybe he wasn't their first choice. Maybe right. Dan Lanning was. I get that. SEC guy under Kirby, you know, right. with the ties and stuff like that. But if he was one of the top three candidates for a place like Alabama to replace a guy who had six national titles while he right. was there,
right.
he's a damn good coach, and you can't That's argue right. with that.
That's right. Well, and the thing is that, you know, you can scream all the fact that you want. You can say, oh, you know, Florida State is not worth a hill of beans or anything like that. But the thing that you have to understand is they went after him. They went after Mike Norvell. Not only did they go after Mike Norvell, they were flying down to Jacksonville to interview him, to talk to him, to probably offer him the job, right? right. Because they saw something in Mike Norvell that all the SEC fans, even Bama fans, didn't want to acknowledge, that he is one of the best coaches in the game right now. And we stuffed you in a locker. AD Alford stuffed Bama in a locker. We kept our coach. All the other fan bases can go and cry a river. All I care. We got our coach. And let me just say this. Mike Norvell, they released some extra details about the contract, but he is 8 years, $10 million. And he got a substantial, is the wording, substantial increase of resources such as recruiting budget, support staff, ETC. So you talking about building the Death Star? Come right. on now.
I really do, man. I really think, like, first off, the other fan bases, I think, first off, Miami's coping because they know they're stuck with Cristobal for a little bit. And, you know, I think, too, like, when you got to think with Florida, too, like, if you're talking about firing Napier, that's this right. is going to open some eyes yep. in the national coaching search. Like, if Alabama has to go to their fifth choice, oof. What do you think someone at Florida is going to, like, you're going to have to take another G5 guy or something like that.
That's but right.
I think this really does speak to the things, particularly that you just said, as well as them retaining Mike Norvell. Man, this is Florida State is, and I hate to use this term because it's a Clemson term, but Florida State's all in.
Oh yes,
like
yes,
they are all in. It is Florida State against the world. That's the way it's been, and like I think now that they are really ready to step up to the plate and turn this thing into a powerhouse.
Yep.
And I don't have any legal inside information, but I will at least say that I don't think they're going to be making all these moves under the assumption that they're going to be using ACC money to pay for it.
No,
I think they have a good feeling
yep.
that they will end up in a different conference that pays a whole lot more. So they're willing to do the investment. Now you get the stadium, you get the facilities, you get, you know, I yep. mean, look, now, granted, that doesn't necessarily, it didn't help Florida. They got what, right. 40 polos running around and it didn't help them. But like, you know, the polo brigade. But I think yes. that just, man, again, you know, when you talk about that, the more resources for the recruiting budgets and all right. these support Absolutely. Staff and all that, it's only going to take this thing to the next level. And yep. it's already at the top.
I already mean,
this
at the top.
And it's I'll a go top even, 10 program.
And I'll go even one further. There's no way. There's no way. I bet every ounce of coins I got in my pocket right now, which is not a lot, but I bet everything I got that there's no way Mike Norvell comes back if he doesn't have a clue that they're getting out of this conference in the next couple of years.
Right, exactly.
For sure.
That's what we said. I'm sure the conversations that happened around this, like they have a feeling they know what's going to happen. Now, again, yeah. anything can happen in a court. There's right. no guarantees on that. But this, we just talked about it right before you read it. This is, there was probably some guarantees in there that said, hey, you know, if I'm going to stay here,
yep.
I want to be here.
Yep.
This is what Alabama can provide me.
Absolutely.
If you want me to stay, I don't expect you to bend over, you know, and, right. and necessarily do something you can't afford to make That's this place Alabama.
Right.
Right. You're not trying to be Alabama.
Right.
You know, and if I believe, if I'm correct, keep in mind too, this talks about Mike Norvell as a person. Remember during COVID, he took a pay cut.
Yes, he did.
To help the athletic department out so they didn't have to fire other coaches in other sports.
That's right.
That speaks to the person that you got,
character.
Mike Norvell, Absolutely. Right? The character that you have. And so the fact that you have, you know, they developed a Seminole Scholar Program.
Yep.
Other than this one little NCAA violation, which is kind of BS anyway,
right.
there's been no off-the-field issues. So you have a guy that you feel good about leading your program on and off the field. You know, he's a Bowden Society member. They donated $1 million back to the program. You know, and all these things. Hopefully, maybe he donates $1 million to the Battle's End or something like that. Yep, but
that's right.
I just think, you know, like we said, where you negotiated for a few things, and you know, maybe he would have got them anyway. But now you get more of a guarantee that that happened. And so, like, Florida State's ready, not as if they weren't already, because once you saw the transition from Coburn, where he was really just trying to fix the finances.
Yeah.
So now Florida State, they generated last year, not 2023, 2022, they generated, I believe it was a $10 million surplus. In the athletics department. Yep. That's the second year in a row. I'm sure it was even bigger this year.
I can't even imagine what this year looks like.
Right. So it's going to look good. So the fact is, like, Florida State was already playing big boy football.
They
had to go through a rebuild period. Every program's been through a rebuild period. But now, like, again, you are paying your coach top five money in the country. You are going to put in the resources to be at a top 10 level of assets for your program.
That's right.
Man, I mean, I'm excited, Michael. This is the most bipolar 24 hours ever, because it's like, I'm just so like,
last night I was just laying on the couch watching TV with my family, and I was just refreshing Twitter, refreshing all the sites I look at, and I was so depressed. I'm like, man, we're gonna lose our coach. This December is terrible. I was even thinking, like, man, I'm gonna just quit college football. I'm just done. I'm so sick of it. Till today, we're sitting here like, what are we gonna record? Like, what do we could talk about so many different things, but we don't know with Mike Norvell. And then I just stop it. I go, wait. He just said it. He just posted.
I know. Like, it's so funny, because, like, those that don't know, we literally sat here for an hour.
Yes.
Just waiting, because once we saw the thing, we're like, we don't know what to say right now. I mean, I was gonna come on here and tell you why I thought he was gonna stay.
Yeah.
It didn't mean
I was gonna tell you why I think he might leave.
Right. Like, it was no guarantee. So I think it was huge to get him locked up. And it's just so exciting for the future of the program. And now everybody can just breathe a collective sigh of relief. You got your guy, you got him locked up long term. And again, the biggest thing to take out of this is, not only is he going to stay here, you're not losing him to Alabama. If you did not lose him to Alabama, I don't see you losing him at all until he wants to leave, or some, you know, I don't know, the wheels just come off and you have to push him out. I don't think there's going to be many, especially if the things that you talked about, you know, the things that they're going to provide him, the resources that they're going to put into this program. Yeah. If you give him the facilities, you give him all that stuff, they're probably going to come, you know, keep on with the success that they're having. If you have him consistently at a top 10 level program,
right,
with the resources and the money, There's no reason to leave.
Now, I think, again, this goes back to, if you guys who are just tuning in now, I think there's only four programs out there right now that I would say might be a slight better job because they've won a national title in the last 8 years, with the exception of Texas. But Texas is for a different reason. I'll explain that. There are four programs right now that I think, if they came open next year for some reason, then I do think you have to worry that Mike Norvell would, again, in the minimum, take a listen, right? So if for some reason, whoever Alabama hires and they fire him or something happens, he's gone next year, then I do think you might have to worry about that one again. I do think if Kirby, for some reason, goes to, and I don't think you have to worry about this year if he does leave to the Falcons, since Mike just signed his extension, but you know, who knows? But if he left, let's say next year, I do think that's a program that Mike will listen to. I do think Ohio State, if they came calling, that's a program Mike will listen to. And I do think Texas, and Texas is unique because Texas hadn't won a title since Vince Young. But Texas is where Mike is from. Mike played college football there. Mike grew up there. And I do think that as much as he loves Florida State, because he had a little license plate frame of Florida State back in the day when he was a little kid. So he does love Florida State. I do think that. I think if Texas came open in the next year or two and none of those other schools did and they called Mike, I think that's the program. That's the one program I'd be like, as soon as I heard, I'm like, we done lost our coach, because it is what it is with that.
I think Texas is the name that you would worry about the most. Now, I believe he did play at Central Arkansas, but he is from Texas.
Yes.
So
yes.
That would be and the thing is, his name is going to be associated with every opening, because that's just the way it works. I mean,
right.
But at the same time, you also have to remember that a lot of this stuff is media looking for clicks. It's not necessarily like, again, he never gave us an indication that he was on the way out. Now, I was not nervous until you told me that they were going to interview him in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I was like, oh no, don't make me look like an idiot for saying that. But it just, again, man, it just felt like Mike Norvell was a genuine person who doesn't like, I'm sure the $10 million was nice. I don't know that that's the sole reason that he stayed. I think a lot of it was the guarantees and just the being able to lock him up. So, you know, but as we get ready to kind of bring this thing to a close, obviously we've gone for about an hour and a half here. Just, man, like I said, we were sitting here, didn't know what to record, wasn't really sure, you know, what was going to happen with the smoke tweet. We didn't know if it was going to be today. And it only took about 5 minutes after that to get some details. So we just wanted to jump on and just kind of just celebrate with everybody and just be happy because, man, after a really tumultuous like December for this program, the only good thing really was winning the ACC championship. That was, and it lasted about 8 hours before you were pissed off after that. So
that's right.
You know, just the fact alone that you now like you've loaded up in the transfer portal and you have got your guy back, you have got the consistency back with your assistant coaches and everything like that, It's just a really good feeling going into 2024 again, because you've really quieted all the noise, you know, you've stopped all the negative talk where people might say, oh, but you know, they're still an ACC school. Will he jump? Because that's really the one reason why a lot of people thought Mike Norvell would leave was because Alabama is already in the SEC. They already have that SEC money, you know, and you just sent a big suck it to the SEC. You know what I mean? So, like, I just think it's definitely really encouraging to know that you have the guy that again is one of the best on-field coaches in the game, is one of the best portal talent acquirers, whatever you want to call portal recruiters in the game. And you've locked him up for 8 years and you're paying him, you know, elite coach money. You're paying him or you're getting the resources necessary. You're going to devote that to making this again, a championship level program, even more than it already is. Because again, you know, with Jordan Travis and all that, I feel like Florida State would have probably been hoisting a trophy this year. But, you know, it's just a dedication to success that's really exciting, man. And I love to see it from this program. And I think it really makes you excited about the future, because even when you talk about a lot of the transfers, yes, there's some one-year rentals, but you have your quarterbacks of the future on the roster. You're bringing wide receivers that are very talented and have multiple years of eligibility left. You have some of your defensive guys that they're 1 year too, but you have a lot of guys that are going to be here for the next 2 to 3 years. Right. And now Mike Norvell's going to be here for the next at least a few years. So, you know, I'm sure that level of contract does come with a little bit bigger buyout. So, yeah, man, it's really an exciting time right now. It almost feels like after all the crap that we went through in December. Now,
man,
I still would have loved to have put a trophy in.
I would have loved that too.
And I get that too. Man, just knowing that like you locked Mike Norvell up and you've reloaded the roster, it's just like, again, you can just breathe that collective sigh of relief. And you can get excited about 2024, because even like you mentioned, you know, we were talking in the pre-show, we want to record the portal episode.
Right.
You kind of got to sit on it, because if Mike Norvell leaves, are these guys going to transfer back out? So you just kind of had to wait. Like everything was in a holding pattern until until this situation played out.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Thankfully, for once, it played out in our favor. So like finally, I think it really just, man, honestly, as we get ready to close this up, I think this shows you that Mike Norvell was who you thought he was.
Yes, he was.
He was the person who values those relationships. The person who has planted some roots here, you know, in Tallahassee, and a guy that you felt like wanted to be a part of this, a guy who those speeches that he made were not in vain. It wasn't, because like, again, you'll have a coach where it's like, I love being here.
Right.
This is my favorite place to be. Meanwhile, like
my dream job.
They're closing on the house in a new, you know what I mean? Like
the
Christmas tree is on the curb, so to speak, with Jimbo. So like he proved to you he is who you thought he was.
Yep.
And that's even more exciting, because you thought very highly of Mike Norvell going into this, and it would have ripped your heart out to lose him. But now you know that, like, yeah, man, this is the guy we want. He wants to be here. And again, that's something that we've talked about from the Orange Bowl and all that stuff. Just having people that want to be here. And the fact that your coach wants to be here, of course, $10 million helps. But, you know, if you were going to leave, Alabama was probably a perfect case scenario to do it. So the fact that you locked him up, man, it's just – I'm so excited to have not only a successful coach, but a coach like Norvell, a person who's very media-friendly, very fan-friendly.
Yep.
You know, he loves the Chiefs and everybody associated with the program. You locked him up for that long-term contract. And, man, I'm just so – I'm – extra pumped about 2024 now. Like, I was already excited. I hit a little nervous dip there for a minute, but now I'm
let's
already
go.
I'm doubly excited again. So, yeah, man, I'll just let you share any final thoughts on this thing. But this
yeah, man,
is just massive for Florida State.
Yeah, this is massive. This is big. This is probably the biggest recruiting battle you've won in the last 4 years. Is retaining your head coach, your coach who in the last 2 years is 23 and 3. I mean, he's 23 and 3, man. In the last, because I don't count the Orange Bowl, so 23 and 3, right? The dude's lost 3 games, won 23 games. He's beat your rivals 3 straight years. He's owning them on the recruiting trail. He's dominating. He's got the portal down. We're getting the infrastructure. We're getting the facilities. We're getting the support. I mean, he's the leader. Let me make sure I say this correctly. He is the leader of the program that partners with one of the top 3 best NIL collectives in the country. I mean, come on now. Like, this is this. We are like on the precipice of Florida State ascending back to the top of college football again. And there's no better coach. There's no better person and no better character that I would want to lead the program that I dearly beloved than Florida State, than Mike Norvell. And so grateful. Thank you, Mike, for saying yes again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now let's go get some linebackers.
Right, I know. Like, I know you had 10 million reasons to say yes, but I mean, honestly, like,
I'll take it.
I don't even want to know what Bama's going to pay the next coach. Like, if you're getting this far down the list, you know, Dabo already makes 10 million. You're going to have to pony up some cash. So,
yes, you are.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. Just keep loading the portal. Again, they got some guys that are on campus right now. Mike Norvell is already, you know, every commit tweet has been, we're not done yet.
Yep.
And so it's still coming. So we are actually, hopefully real soon, going to have a whole episode where we just talk about all the transfers that Florida State has acquired, what it means for them, what it means for next year. We have that coming. We, of course, have the way too early look at 2024 once, you know, because, again, the landscape changed a lot in a week when you talk about some of these transfers that have come in, and they've got some really good dudes that I'm excited about. So we will be back with that for you guys real soon. If you've watched this long, we would appreciate a like and subscribe. We are really close to breaking 1,000 followers. That would be subscribers on YouTube. That would be awesome if you guys could drop a follow for us. That would be amazing. Check us out on social media as well. And Michael, I will leave you with this last quote left by a friend of mine, Jeff at Champions Way Sports, who also covers FSU. The only other coach that chose FSU over Bama in the past was Bobby Bowden. And so now the second coach to do that is Mike Norvell. And, you know, young, eager, looking forward to the future, man. I'm so excited. I'm elated. And, you know, I'll save you guys the terrible watch of me doing a happy dance on camera. But just know I'm as excited as you are. And so I can't wait to be back with the next episode. But thank you for everyone who tuned in and watched this. And, man, let's just go enjoy your weekend.
Yes, yes.
Go breathe a sigh of relief. Go walk outside and touch some grass and smell the fresh air, because the world is not coming to an end.
We have
Mike Norvell back.
At least today.
Right, exactly. So we'll see what's next for us. You know, there's going to be something happen tomorrow, because we can't go one day without having stress. Like, I've aged 30 years in the last 2 months.
Oh,
but yeah, man. But it's an exciting time. The future is bright at Florida State, and you got the leader of your program locked in to an extension. So thank you guys so much for watching. Be on the lookout for the next episode coming out real soon. And we'll talk to you then. Thanks for watching.
Sir. Go Noles.